Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I want to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Revelation starting in chapter 14, reading through chapter 16. Our focus this morning is on the wrath of God, and we will see that in these chapters together. Revelation chapter 14, this is God's word. "Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb, standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters, and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. They followed the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water.' A second angel followed and said, 'Fallen. Fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries.' A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.' 'Yes,' says the Spirit, 'they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them.' I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, 'Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.' So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Still another angel who had charge of the fire came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, 'Take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of grapes from the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe.' The angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as the horses' bridles for a distance of 1600 stadia. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues, last because with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this I looked, and in heaven the temple, that is the tabernacle of the testimony, was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chest. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go, pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth." The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land. And ugly and painful sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Then I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, "You are just in these judgments, you who are and who were the Holy One, because you have so judged, for they have shed the blood of your saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve." And I heard the altar respond, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments." The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God, who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. These are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done." Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since man has been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones of about 100 pounds each fell upon men, and they cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because the plague was so terrible. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And when we look at the scriptures, we don't just see, as some foolish people have suggested, in the Old Testament a God of wrath, in the New Testament a God of love. Those people don't know the Old Testament or the New Testament. Instead, we see a God who is love, a God who is holy, a God with eyes too pure to look upon sin, the Bible says. And in this passage, we see repeatedly in focus the wrath of God. Chapter 14, verse 7. Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. In verses 10 through 11, it speaks of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. People who will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever, and there's no rest day or night. In verses 19 and 20, the angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed out of the presses, rising as high as the horses' bridles for a distance of about 180 miles. That is the wrath of God. It's going to involve a lot of bloodshed. Not only that, but in chapter 15, we're told seven angels are given seven last plagues, and they're last because with them, God's wrath is completed. Verse 7 again says, then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls. Golden bowls. I mean, that should be, you expect something beautiful in a golden bowl, don't you? Well, here is the beauty. Seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. In chapter 16, it begins, "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go, pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth.'" And it is not pretty. Repeatedly in this chapter, as the plagues are described, as God's wrath is described, the chorus, if you will, is that still they cursed God and refused to repent. They still cursed God and refused to repent. They still cursed God and refused to repent. They would not turn. This is not a situation where they don't know what's going on and what this is so mysterious. They know that God is in control. And rather than submit to his control, they say, no, this is why the wrath of God is poured out. It is not poured out on the unsuspecting. It is poured out on the determined enemies of God. People who don't understand, how could God possibly send anyone to hell? I don't understand how God doesn't send all of us to hell. You say, well, Pastor, I'm really a pretty good person. If you think so, you really deserve hell. If you think in the light of God's perfection that you measure up pretty well, you don't know yourself and you don't know him. If you ever get a glimpse of his holiness, you will realize what a wretch you are. If you have not come to the point of recognizing your own desperate need for God's mercy, then you are not saved. You cannot receive the good news until you know you deserve hell. And so if you look at what Jesus says, he speaks of the wrath of God. In Luke chapter 12, verse 5, he says, "I'll tell you who you should fear. You should fear the one who, having destroyed the body, can cast the soul into hell." In Luke 19, 27, Jesus tells a story about one who was sent away to receive a kingdom. While he was gone, his subjects sent word saying, "We don't want him to rule over us." And Jesus says, he was made king, however, and he returned. And when he returned, he rewarded his servants according to their stewardship. And then he said, "And as for those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me." That is Jesus. Jesus says that. You can't appreciate the gospel unless you recognize the wrath of God. Because the amazing thing is that God doesn't pour out his wrath on everyone, but offers salvation to all who repent and believe the good news. In Romans 12, 19, we're told that we must never take revenge on others. But instead, we must leave room for the wrath of God, because God has promised, "I will repay." God promises that his wrath will be poured out. And so look for just a moment in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. But go to 1 Thessalonians first, just a few books back. Beginning in verse 9, it says, "They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." Look in chapter 2, verse 16. "In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last." Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. "Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you're enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among those, all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. Folks, do you understand that the New Testament clearly, repeatedly, emphatically tells us that there is salvation for those who trust in Jesus and that there will be eternal destruction for those who do not? Read the last verse in John chapter 3. We all love John 3:16, which tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The next verse says, for God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. Praise the Lord, that's the good news. It's not all of it. Because John chapter 3 ends with a very clear warning, and that is, those who trust in the Son have eternal life. But those who do not obey the Son, the wrath of God abides on them. You can't worship the God who is God unless you include God's wrath. God's wrath is real. But we see also, and we're reminded in these verses we read this morning, that God's wrath is just. You are just in these judgments, the angel in charge of the waters said. God's wrath is slow in coming, wanting to give opportunity for more to repent so that all of his own might be saved. But one more thing about the wrath of God. It's final. Look again at the beginning of chapter 15. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues. Last, because with them, God's wrath is completed. When God does this, there won't be another round. God's wrath is even now, Romans chapter 1 tells us, being displayed as he gives people over to their own desires and lets them engage in all kinds of horrible sin. That is a manifestation of the wrath of God. But it's not the final thing. It is a dreadful thing when God says, have it your way. But it's not the final thing. There will come a day when all of God's enemies will be together and there will be no sense of togetherness. You and I need to know that God's wrath, when it is finally poured out, will be final. There will come a time when it's too late. And so I would plead with you, be sure that you are trusting in him and that you are seeking to yield your life to him, because there is no other salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is why the cross is so absolutely amazing and why the cross is essential.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.